you're hiding so much that we need to know, and we have the right to know.
Hi, and welcome back to the Family Twist Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Stoltz. This episode continues the conversation Kendall had with Pam, a NPE, not parent expected, individual, and our new Canadian friend. You can hear the beginning of their conversation in episode 94, opening up about being the child result of an affair. I recently met Pam in person while we were both at the Untangling Our Roots Summit in Denver. Pam is a firecracker, and it was a joy getting to spend a little time with her and share some hugs. I gotta tell you, the summit was a life-changing experience for me. It was an amazing time, and I'll be sharing more about it in an upcoming episode. I met dozens of wonderful people from the NPE, adoptee, and donor-conceived communities, and several of them will soon be guests on this podcast. But for now, here's Pam and Kendall.
You know, I am really curious whether you're going to encounter people who technically might have been the product of an affair, but maybe they were, the parents were in open relationship. You know what I mean? Like, I'm imposing, yes. I'm imposing my own, I'm a monogamist, right? So like, I would never have an affair. I only want to be with my partner. And thankfully, that's the way he feels about me. But I do have to step back and think, okay, there could be people out there whose parents were, you know, swingers. I'm just making, you know, from the 60s, there was a little bit more of that than, or
there are. I'm actually friendly with two people in the community in two different groups who know that they are the result of that exact situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's still been difficulties, right? Yeah. But I believe both have been in reunion with their biological fathers who are still alive. But one, I think there's lots of pushback from the family that he lived with, the dad, making it not so easy. But one of them, like, it's just like they've picked up, you know, he just welcomed her, but he's divorced. Again, it's different if people are still in the same marriage.
Yep.
Like, even though she's been happily received, she's still had lots of struggles herself. Because she said, oh, I feel guilty about sharing this in the group. And I'm like, you have a great reunion. That's awesome. But you're still allowed to feel however you feel about it. It doesn't mean, oh, everything's great and we all meet up and lovely, lovely. Like, this man's still a stranger to you. You still, and she has a very deep and traumatic story. Not all of us do, but there are some of us who really came from difficult situations. And for me, I you know, knowing that my dad was 60 and grown children, I don't think there ever would have been, you know, a time where I would have been raised by him or been part of that. Even if my mom had ever told me, I think it would have been still a secret of some sort. But to just know that another family existed that wasn't as hard as the one that I was in, I don't know what that would have done for me. Mm-hmm. Like, knowing that there was a, maybe a safe space out there. Again, not knowing that I could go there, but yeah, it's tricky. But yes, there are definitely people who are from open and known affairs, and you watch movies about it.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you there's probably a million movies where that, the show I'm watching right now, because you know your phone spies on you.
Yes.
My phone recommended The Affair.
Oh.
Surprise, surprise. So I'm watching it. In Canada, it's on Paramount. I don't know where you would watch it there.
Yeah.
And yeah, spoiler alert, but there's a baby that comes out of someone cheating and is well received by the wife, but there's so much that's happening, right? It's a drama.
Right.
But there are lots of affairs and lots of different scenarios. Same with Brothers and Sisters. Brothers and Sisters, I watch because it has a lot of every angle of NPE, from adoption, DCP, affair, like it covered everything, but it's still your individual experience is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to talk about those common things. And yeah. Did you have another question? I'm sorry. I cut you off with your curiosity.
I do want to give a shout out to my biological father's ex-wife, the mother of two of my half siblings, because they've been divorced for a long time, but she was so excited to meet me. And when she first hugged me, she said, "Oh, honey, you're the baby that we knew was out there and we just couldn't find." And it just, I sobbed. Oh. I was like, "Oh my God." You know, it's like, to think that if I had gotten a chance to, you know, see them even periodically. You know what I mean? Like how wonderful it would have been. And she's a good mom. You know, my brother and sister just have great relationship with her, and she treats us, Corey and me, so well. We go to her family's Christmas party, you know, every year. And it's just, they make you feel like I was, you know, always there. You know, it's really, it does. It's helpful. You know, it's funny. I never expected to connect with her the way that I have, but it's been amazing. So
Kendall, what you're kind of, what I was feeling and what you're saying there, like from, it's all this love. And I think, again, someone can slap me on the hand for speaking for others, but most of us just want to feel loved. Everybody. Mm-hmm. So even the people we're reaching out to, isn't the best thing in the world to just feel like someone cares about us? And extra love is great,
yep.
Right? Like I went into this not expecting to be invited to the Christmas and that they might be worried I'm out to steal the family farm or whatever right. else. Like I told them so much about myself and our home and yeah. my husband's business and la, 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 la. But it's like, how can, again, I realize there are people who are unbalanced and unsafe and you have to be careful. And I totally respect that. But for the most part, people that are healthy and well, is a little extra love
yep.
such a bad thing?
Yep.
And, you know, on paper, they looked amazing. I knew they looked a little suspicious. So my biological father was involved in a religious group that's, there's not a lot about it. I'm not going to say the name of it because yeah. I don't want anyone to go after them, but there's no nice way to say it. It stopped my search for a while. I think it used religion to hide behind racism. Mm-hmm. And it was in the 40s and 50s. But my dad is buried with the symbol for that group on his tombstone. Mm-hmm. And it looks pretty new. And his wife is buried with the same stone. So my sister, Sue, who I wrote to, her charity
supports that.
Is for African women.
Oh.
And I was like, yes, yeah. right? Like, you're getting it right. Okay. Again, I'm not saying that just because she's doing that forgives the sins sure. of the past, but I just thought, you know what? She's not her dad.
Right.
And I felt like my dad, he used a fake name. He used a fake name on his marriage certificate. He even put his parents as deceased when both of them were not. I think my dad was complicated, my biological father. I feel like he took on his wife's life and the religion. And I'm not saying that that group is her fault, but it doesn't align with anything. And I can say it without giving it away. It has a British connection. Mm-hmm. He's not British. He is 100% Russian and Ukrainian. Mm-hmm. He is not British. Mm-hmm. And this group believes that the British Anglo-Saxons are the superior race. So
talk about assimilation.
Who was he trying yeah. to be?
Right.
His engagement announcement was, to me, it was fake because it said his mom and dad had different names, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jack Brown and were deceased. And then the marriage announcement, and imagine this was in his province. He got married in my province. This was in the province that his family lived in where this was posted. This is the fun of newspapers.com. Mm. Then it was corrected when the wedding happened. So there's this sense of false and fake, and there's just so many questions I want to ask them.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not just that, you know, oh, please welcome me as a sister, but like,
right.
This man is a big mystery. His life had all these layers, and I don't know if they know what I do. Like, right. I don't know if they've done the amount of research that I have. And Sue also told me that we've hired a researcher to research our family in Ukraine. And I can tell you, like, I don't know what this person's doing because I've found nothing. So they're seeking their family background, but they still slam the door in my face.
I just can't. I cannot understand that. You know?
Yeah. And I believe even the Ukrainian name is not our family name too.
Interesting.
I did a test to find out how Irish I was and help find out a little bit more about my grandfather who came over. And I did. I've actually found some family. I found an amazing cousin who's 76 in England. We've been doing some research. We're trying to find out what happened to one more of my grandpa's siblings because we've tracked five of them through her. I didn't even know about three of them that it still existed. and she was an NPE and she shared her story. So she's been amazing. So that's, you know, Lisa. And then obviously my cousin on my mom's side have helped me, but these groups have helped me so much, all of this stuff. Like, I just want to give back, and for my own selfishness, I want to have these conversations and see how people are feeling. Cause
it's,
yeah, I'm still processing so much.
Oh, it's incredibly therapeutic. And I never thought that that would be an outcome for me. You know, when we went into this, it was because I wanted to tell my story, but I also was so interested in other people's stories. That's where that was the impetus for us. And I mean, you probably, if you've listened, I cry every episode. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, and that's who I am, but I never expected to feel the level of feelings that I felt. It's been wonderful. You know, I joke sometimes with Corey and he'll suggest that we go do something not long after we've recorded one of these episodes. And I'm like, I'm just too upset. Yeah, not upset in a bad way. Just, I'm so emotional as a result of the stories that it's like, sometimes it's, you know, I have to process it a bit before I want to go out and talk to people in the world.
Thank you for sharing that, Kendall, because one of the things I'm struggling with, I haven't cried today. I've worked really hard to not cry today because I know how hard it is to edit out crying. I've been trying to do that, but then I thought, I'm going to cry now.
Yeah.
Am I doing a disservice by taking it out?
Yep. No, it's real, right? We have every right to, and you know, you said this previously in this conversation, and it's something that I honestly learned during the beginning of this podcast almost 2 years ago, is that I never used to allow myself the feelings. You know, I felt I've always been outwardly stoic, right? So like my public persona, you know, I'm also in HR. And what do? We nurture people constantly. I'm the, you know, guy who expects that people are going to come into my office and have a breakdown and I can hold it together. You know what I mean? And I'm also a control freak. So there's that. but I mean, I own it. And publicly, that's who I am. So I feel really vulnerable, you know, putting myself out there the way that I have. But that's okay, right? I can have my professional life and then where I, you know, I'm stoic, but I can also, you know, really relate to people and show empathy and that sort of thing. But I can also not cry when they're crying. You know what I mean? I can hold it together. But man, I get myself all worked up sometimes. And sometimes it's, we've talked about it, it's anger. You know, I'm so frustrated with the people that keep these lies going. You know, I'm just, it infuriates me. It's like, you're hiding so much that we need to know, and we have the right to know.
And I think, you know, I was thinking about you and your mom this morning, because obviously I've been your birth mother, because I've been listening along, Kendall, and not pretending to be an expert, because there's obviously things you don't share. But just because I was thinking about that shame piece, and it's like, you know, if I had to guess, right? Like, because she hasn't told people, right? It's like that, whether that's shame in what people are going to think about her, not just the initial, because of whatever, I don't know what year you were born. I was born in the 70s, but the times, you know, my mom was in a shotgun wedding. That's how my parents got married.
Wow.
My mom was pregnant with my sister. So I can't imagine this, you know, getting pregnant from someone else, this older man and all of that stuff. But I think about like your mom, like she's built a life. She's done whatever she's done to, you know, push this down. And she had feelings. She felt feelings. I'm sure she grieved you, all of that. The fear of feeling it, of possibly other people's judgments, of having to face you and allow all of your feelings in, for her, it's, for whatever reason, is I'm boxing it in as safer to stay in this box than it is to go outside. And I'm like, okay, and I'm sure you've been told, you know, that's her trauma, and I'm not discounting that.
Yeah.
But it's like, she keeps making that choice. She keeps making that choice.
Yeah.
And that's what's hard for us, regardless of your story, is that like my bio family, they're choosing whatever that box is. It's not the same as a birth mother. It's definitely not the same. Mm-hmm. They didn't give birth to me, but that feels, and I'm just using the word safer or less risky or whatever, or presents an image, whatever that is. And being a human and connecting with someone. And yeah, it's, I can understand it. I think you get it, that I get the empathy, right? I've cried for my half siblings. How crappy that I roll in and I call it the evening of their lives.
Yeah.
That I've come in like this. And I said to them, like, I wish in a million, because I had no DNA. I couldn't even get to Lisa. I did, because there were so many common names in that branch. Mm-hmm. And the only person I found, I'm going to cry, I found one of my cousins had died of COVID.
Oh.
In the middle of all that.
Yeah.
And they were the only family I found. And I was like, I can't bother them. Yeah. Their mom just died.
Yeah.
So I left them alone. This probably could have been cleared up sooner, but I didn't want to pressure anyone. I didn't want to hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hurting too. And yeah, I mean, I get why my mom didn't tell me. But when my uncle showed up, my adopted uncle, who's a miracle, I said, Mom, she was in the early stages of dementia. She had rocket strength, old, like long-term memory. Mm-hmm. She couldn't tell you what she had for lunch. And right. I was like, are there any other family secrets? Is there anything you haven't told me? I asked her jokingly.
Yep.
I was mad at her one day and I let it rip. I asked her, you know, in every way. I remember even being in tears and holding her hand. And I was like, Mom, is there anything? And I sat down with her and I talked about their marriage. We had some hard conversations and the waitress, of course, I had to do it in a restaurant, but
yeah.
The waitress kept interrupting, you know, doing her job.
Sure.
I just wanted to put up, we're having a family conversation. Exactly. We do not overserve me. Anyway, I was like, you know, did you and Dad love each other? Like, we had that conversation. She's like, yeah. And your dad told me he would have married me anyway.
Mm.
And she said, and I don't regret having you and your brother. But if I'm being honest, and she said that in this day and age, I would have left your dad when your sister was two.
Wow.
And I believe this affair probably started around that time. My sister's doll was given to her when she was 3 and a half. There's photos, not with him in it, but just with her with this doll. She was 3 and a half years old. So I feel like we got close. But there was something stopping my mom. And maybe she didn't know for sure because I came out, I look like everybody else.
Right.
So maybe she thought,
yeah,
I got lucky. Yeah. I don't know. And I don't really think I look like my bio dad. I mean, if I showed you a picture, which I'll send you afterwards if you want.
Yeah.
When I show people the three, you know, the three of us, people play that guess my daddy game. Mm. Everyone guesses my bio dad.
Hmm.
So, but they, I sent them photos of myself. I sent them photos of my daughter. Because, you know, in my snooping, I saw one of my sister's granddaughters looked a lot like my daughter.
Wow.
So I sent the picture. But further snooping showed that that little girl looks like her daddy, who's not biologically related to this family. It's just a fluke. But they look enough alike that I showed two people at work and they're like, oh, that's such a cute picture of your daughter. I'm like, it's not my daughter.
Wow. Wow.
I'm like, that's actually my whatever. I can't even think of who she is to me now. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, it does hurt. I did try. I pushed my mom, but I think I was thinking about your mom and my mom. And I'm just like, you know, whatever that is, they just can't cross over. And
yeah,
but it doesn't hurt any less.
No. I mean, I'm so thankful for my biological mother's sister. She doesn't tell me as much as I want, you know, Aunt Binky, if you're listening, please, you know, keep in mind, I will, you know, always take whatever you can give me, but she's a peacemaker. My auntie is, and she's, you know, always, you know, tells me nice things about my mother. And, you know, I want to hear those things, but I think at the same time, they're worried that it's hurtful to me because, you know, she's this great person, but then she won't meet me, you know, and I'm proud enough and demonstrative enough to be like, you know, damn it, just once, just, you know what I mean? Talk to me once. That's it. That's all I need. I just think it's weird 6 years in that we've never spoken. I just think it's odd. But to your point, I think you've nailed it. That's her trauma and turmoil, and she just can't deal with it. My sisters, her daughters, have said she's not capable of dealing with it right now. So I hope she, you know, I wish she could go to therapy. I wish she could have some conversations that would be useful to her, you know, because it's not fair to, you know, I'm 53. I was born in 1970. And I just think it's sad that she hasn't in some ways moved on. You know, it's like, even if she never spoke to me, it sounds like she just needs to process a lot of stuff that should have been processed a long time ago. And I wish that for her, because it must be continually traumatic, you know, just to know you got this kid out there. You know,
I just think like of the Jenga game, right? Like people are so afraid if you move one, but I have broke before this. I had a very difficult breakup many, many years ago when I was engaged and cheated on.
Mm.
And I did talk to my mom about it. So maybe that's why she didn't tell me. But anyway, is that if you break down, you will come back together again.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be different. Right. But if you break, again, obviously she's got lots of loving people around her to support her. Mm-hmm. She will come back together again. And I think the fear of that is so much, right? Like even some of the people I've shared, they're, I wouldn't contact them. I wouldn't tell anyone. I wouldn't even tell my parents. I'm like, you have no idea what you would do.
That's right.
But that fear right there, that fear of dealing with it is worse than burying it. I'm like, and I feel like when people bury stuff, it will make them sick. It'll show up in some way. It will make you sick in some regard of your life. That's just my personal belief. But, you know, like we make life, and I overanalyze everything to death. So I get it. I'm one of those people. But like we take it all so seriously. And it's like, I don't think these situations are presented to us just to bury them.
Right.
Like I found no point in this. In the beginning, I was so frustrated. I'm one of those people, I could find the gold in everything, right? Like, yeah. Kendall, you know, I was meant to log on that day and hear your podcast, and here I am, right? Because that connected it. I'm that person.
Yeah.
But I was so mad through parts of this. I was like, why did I find out to just sit here with all these questions? Everyone's dead. Mm-hmm. Why in the world would I have to find out now when right. I would have got it out of her. If I had done this test before, it would have been ugly. Yeah. It would have taken two tries. I say two because I would have been heavy the second time.
Yeah.
And I would have got out of my mom, and it would have been painful, but she would have told me the truth, and I still would have loved my mom. And, you know, it wouldn't have broken our relationship. It would have made it hard.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, but because we'd been through some big things. Mm-hmm. And there are some things my mom and I never talked about, but we would have found our way back. And it just, you know, it's the choice that people make, right? It's just it's too much. It's too scary.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have been left. And then I went back to, you know what, the point of this is like for them to find out, for me to reach out to them. Do they really think that hiding everything, Was that part of their life's journey? Like exactly. If they're religious, if they're not, whatever. And I always mention this so far. I've mentioned this, I think, on every podcast that I've recorded, which has only been a couple, but the movie Soul on Disney.
Mm.
So I don't know. I jumped onto that before my NPE discovery. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not.
I feel like it's not a kid's movie because my daughter's like, she's 7 and she's like, what is going on? No. Like she feels uncomfortable when it's on. But basically, you know, they take the non-religious route. So they have these like weird figures that are, you know, God or whatever they are. But the soul, they walk around and they see like what their gift is. And then they get the special badge and then they jump off into Earth and they experience life. And so much about that movie makes me think like I kept going back to it. And I'll probably watch it again because we've had this conversation is that, you know, if this is part of what my soul's, and again, I don't practice religion, but if this is what my soul's journey was supposed to be, that I was supposed to be someone who lived with these people who were poor and who everything was a struggle to have food. We were almost homeless once. Mm. I have a very good life. I have a home and I'm very blessed, but it started off rough. There was abuse in my home. And I've always had a gift of knowing when I've talked to other people that they've been abused in the same way.
Hmm.
just from instinct. Mm-hmm. I always felt like that was the gift of the horrible experiences I went through. Mm-hmm. And then finding out this and contacting these people, as much as it pained me to because of the fair, but I'm like, we're all human. Like, people make choices. People, and I loved how Jen said about hurt people and broken people are searching for something outside of themselves. And then we're seekers. Now, not everybody. Some people got a phone call or found out in a different way. Aunt Sue got drunk and let it out at the dinner table or whatever, right? Like, everybody found it in different ways, but we were meant to find out. And the people that we're connecting with, they were meant to find out too. But the problem is there's free will and choice and how we deal with it. So I feel like by pushing anyone away, again, anyone who's healthy and not destructive or scary, you have to protect yourself. I just always want to put that in there because you never know.
No.
But is that, like, they're meant to contact you. You are meant to be somehow, even if it's small, even if it's just sharing a story or the truth or medical history, you are meant to know and to connect with these people. It's part of your soul's journey. Mm-hmm. And anybody who refuses that is shutting out a part of their story that they're meant to live.
Yep.
I don't know. Have I gone too deep on a Sunday?
No,
I have no,
no
idea,
no.
But that's how I feel.
No, I
that's
how
I feel when I watch it.
And you and I are, I think, in the same mindset. I said recently to my sister, Stephanie, my mother's daughter, she tells me, you know, that some of the hard things that my mother has lived through. I joke with Stephanie and say, well, tell her, you know, meeting Kendall doesn't have to be a difficult thing. You know what I mean? Like,
you're so sweet.
Oh,
you're just going to be
you.
Like, wow.
Well, I mean, I think that the gay thing could be part of it, but even so, like, you know, when I think about the things that she's already lived through, like having a gay kid can't be one of the worst things that's happened, you know, but,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's in it, you know, it's deep Southern US, you know, look, I lived it. Jackie, if you're listening, you know, I'm still open to, you know, connecting at some point in the future. I also don't use her first name as often as I could. And I'm kind of, I don't know. I'm at the point of, I don't even feel like using the word protect even makes sense anymore. Like, I, you know, I'm not trying to disrupt her life, but I also, 6 years in, feel like I have a right to say her name. You know, that's on me. I might be, you know, burning a bridge, but at this moment, I don't know what I'm risking because we already don't have a connection. I mean, you know.
Yeah, because the issue of safety, again, I'm just using that word as an example, it takes place in her mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there is nothing that's demonstrating itself to be a physical threat or unsafe.
No.
So then, like, anxiety, right? It's
right.
The fear of the future. It's the fear of the unknown and not knowing. And I get it. And I love, like, the right to know group. Like, I love that whole theme, right? Like, we have the right to know. And it was a different time, right? Whatever happened, however old we are, it was a different time. There were different beliefs, you know, they were different people, right? Like, I don't make the decisions the same way I did as a 20-year-old,
sure,
as I would do now. I believe my mom was probably having the affair between 25 and 30, and my bio dad was in his 50s and then up to 60 when I was born. Like, I'm not the same person, but I am. I've lived through the experiences, but how I filter things and how I process it, it's like, you know, just being afraid to take that step forward. And I was working on a document. I don't know if I'm going to have a page for this. And I just thought about writing down, like, all of the things, like, all of the feelings that we have as the NPE, regardless of our conception, you know, label. And then their feelings, their meaning, birth family, whether it's the parents, obviously that's maybe very different than siblings. And then what are the feelings we share in common?
Mm.
And, like, I have four. And then I wrote down, if we write down all of our wants, what we want, and then we write down all of their reasons why they don't want to give us that.
Mm.
And then in the middle, So we have our shared feelings that are the same, even though they might have a different source. Mm-hmm. So let's say shame, anger, sad, grief. And then in the middle of the our wants and their resistance is the bare minimum. So that we would write down what's the bare minimum other than nothing and no contact.
Right.
Could we live with and commit to, you're never going to get away from your feelings, but that you could, if that person said, this is it, and I would walk away, even though I would want more, this is the bare minimum. And then for them, the biological family, to look at that list and see what their bare minimum is. See, there needs to be interveners for this.
Sure.
Like, we have interveners for everything, right? And I know Right to Know, I think, has someone who does work on behalf, but again, it's American, so I haven't been part of that.
Mm-hmm.
In that middle bare minimum, that's what people do, whether that's through, you know, a social worker or a therapist, that there is a minimum. So everybody sees and feel like, because my heart breaks for people who go into this thinking they're going to be warmly embraced, like, it just because it didn't come to me. I didn't, you know, I allowed myself to think that one day just to have that dream. And then I told my hairdresser, who said, because it was a dream. It actually was a real dream that started. And then I woke up and I finished it in my head. And she was like, oh, you know, when you dream it, it's going to be the opposite. And I was like, great. This is not the day I want you to be my psychic hairdresser. I love her. She's awesome. She's listening. But she's also an NPE.
Really? Wow.
Oh, my gosh. And really traumatic. Oh. But she's so many years past it. She just told me and kept cutting my hair. Hers was within the family. And so, yeah. So I'm surrounded by people who know it, who get it. But anyway, she said to me, and this is probably going to make me cry, with her situation, I started crying because it was in the family and it was pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, you know what? No. She said, my heart breaks for you because my dad got to hold me. And my dad got to love me. And I remember that. I can still feel his arms around me. I didn't know him as my father, but that man got to hold me and love me.
Hmm.
And you'll never get that chance.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am in the chair.
Right, right.
With hair dye, so I can't go running out the door. I'm stuck. And I was like, she gets it.
Yeah.
She totally, her story was much more traumatic. And she said she felt for me because she saw the gift in her NPE story and pain.
Wow. What a.
And I was just like, oh my God, right? Like, the world just needs to be full of more people like that who get it. And that's one of the things that I put in the letter at the end to my half siblings was, you know, if I've never seen him walk or talk or laugh, if I could ask one more thing, is if there's a video that exists. Yeah. Because that's huge to an NPE. That's like the gold of when someone has passed away, right?
Yeah. You bring up a good point. I've never seen a video of my birth mother. I've seen lots of photos and I'd love to see a video. I'm going to ask my sisters for that because, you know, not that I would share it. It's not like I'm going to post it.
No.
Where I just would love to see it, you know, because I have gotten to meet my, you know, biological father, and which is just, it's been so special, you know, just a really nice guy. You know, I always joke with him and say that my adoptive father and he, you know, would have really liked each other. You know, my adoptive mother would have liked him too. She would have thought he was a bit silly, but that's okay. she, cause he's kind of a goofball and, but actually both of my dads were kind of goofy. And, my mother got a kick out of it. My adoptive mother. But anywho, so I have such wonderful, you know, memories. Corey and I are working on a new episode that's going to be devoted to my adoptive stepmother. She recently passed away in January. I talk about her a lot on the podcast already, but we want to have a nice episode about Joyce because it's hard to have a better stepmother. She just a wonderful, wonderful human being that we will continue to miss a lot. But anyway,
Well, I'm sorry for your loss. Yeah. And I think that sounds like a beautiful way to,
we would
pay respects.
Exactly. Yeah. She had to go into hospice right before Thanksgiving. So we knew it was coming, but it was, it's still hard, you know?
Doesn't make it any less hard. It's grief.
No. And she's been my stepmother since 1982. So it's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, after my adoptive mother passed away. So it just, you know, she'll always be in my heart. I loved her a lot. So, well, thank you so much. I hope you will stay connected with us, because I'd love to hear any way that your story progresses. I mean, not only to talk about the success of your podcast and the people whose lives you will touch, that is important, of course, but then your own personal story. I, you know, shame on your half sisters who haven't, you know, connected with you, that maybe they will, or maybe someone in their family will.
So I wrote on January, whatever it was, 2nd. So there's been radio silence,
yeah,
which I haven't updated that on my podcast, but I will. Yeah, I feel like it's going to be, if anything's going to happen, it's going to be the next generation. Yeah. And they're my age. They're our age.
Right.
I had initially thought about writing to them, but every time I thought about it at night, I can't sleep. And every time I think about leaving them alone, I feel peaceful.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there's something in that. So I'm like, for now, I'm going to leave it alone. But if they're aware, I don't know.
Yeah.
But one of them works in the medical field, because they shot down the DNA. I didn't tell you the whole long letter. I'll probably read it on my podcast from them. Like, she studies T cells and DNA and diabetes, which seems to run in the family, but I can't figure out which side. If it's, so they know.
Right.
There's someone who's a doctor in the US who understands DNA and science. So I just don't know if they've told all the children. Like, I know my niece knows, because she blocked me.
Right.
But she's young and they're here in Canada. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I feel like my story is kind of over from them, but I'll always have a little hope, right? That someone will do the right thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I would love if they're not going to contact me in life, my hope is that, and Sue, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but is that you leave me a package.
Yeah.
With my answers and some photos, and you ask one of your kids to send it along.
Yep.
Because right now I death watch them. Like I Google their obituaries, which is really sad.
No.
And
I get it.
I know I'm saying it here in vulnerable space, or in a safe space, but I'm being vulnerable. Is that my oldest half sister? She lives in the city where I commute to twice a week for work. I actually. Because I'm geographically challenged. I thought I would never pass her house. I actually have to pass her house twice a week to get to work.
Wow.
Because I don't know my north, south, east, west. Right, so right. It's terrible. That's why I use Google Maps.
Yeah.
Anyway, I drive past her house. So she's the oldest. I have seen her once. I brought her flowers one day. I didn't tell her who I was.
Oh.
I just wanted to see if she was still alive. She still lived in the house. And I saw some resemblance, which was really freaky.
Wow.
But the smell of smoke wafted from the house into my face. So it totally made me freeze. Not that I was going to say anything anyway.
Yeah.
And then I just said, oh, these flowers are for you. And I said, you have some packages here. She hadn't picked up anything out in front of her house. And then she said, oh, do you mind coming in and putting it on my table? And I was like, no. I just reached around. Because she had like a little side table. I didn't want to step in her house.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do anything. I even felt like, this is weird, but I'm like, if this is how I'm going to meet and this is it,
at least.
And I just gave her the flowers. It was last May. It was right before Mother's Day. And I said, have a great day. And she said, thank you. Because I asked her if she was her name. I said her full name and she said yes. And then I handed them to her. So she probably just thought I was a flower delivery person.
Yeah.
And I had someone in the community say, oh, how could you do that? She's probably wondering who gave her those flowers. I'm like, really? You're an NPE. I'm an NPE.
That is
84.
Right.
The days are numbered.
Right.
And you're yelling at me and I'm like, I never told her who I was. Yeah. I had sunglasses on and I'm like, but anyway, I had that moment.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I would like to go, if she has a funeral, I would like to go and sit in the back row. I'm just not sure that my hair is really going to help me blend in, but maybe I'll wear my hair back or a hat, but that's my plan.
Yeah.
But if there's like 6 old people at the front and no one else and they're wondering who the heck I am, then I might head for the hills. So Kendall, I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they live a long time and it's not tomorrow, but
yeah,
I just thought it's a way to hear about them and then look at photos.
Mm-hmm.
If they do. And isn't that sad? That's so sad.
It's sad.
But that's my plan is that either Sue leaves me a package when she dies, one of the children do the right thing, or I show up and sit in the back row at a funeral.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hear you. My sisters, Stephanie and I talked about pretty recently. I was like, I love her son and she only has one son. And I say to her, like, if he's a freshman in college, anyway, he's in college. I always say, like, when he gets married, I want to be there. And my mom should want to be there. She's his grandmother. So there are moments where I feel like we're going to be put together, even if we've never met. You know, it's coming. It's coming because I don't know if I really would have gotten a chance to go, but next month, my baby sister's daughter is getting married and I wasn't invited. And I'm sure that's because my mother will be there. Am I hurt that I'm not invited? Some, but I also get it, you know, and that's their choice, right? You know, want my niece to know I still love her. I know it's not necessarily her decision. She's trying to appease everyone. And it's also already awkward because she's got another side of the family that she's got to think about too, that's potentially problematic. So anyway, it is what it is. But yeah.
Well, it's their loss too. They're missing out on love. But mm-hmm. I get why they're not, because of your mom. But yeah. It's a loss for everybody.
It is.
It is their loss. You're a warm and kind person, but it's also a loss of love.
Yeah.
And that's what I think anybody listening is, that's what you're missing out on for the most part, is a chance for someone else to bring love to you.
Absolutely. Really. Absolutely. And I'm going to figure out which guest said this, but I remember one of our guests saying, who can have too much family? And I loved that question. I was like, you know what? That's a very good thing to front of mind all the time. Like, I can't, you know, I'm like, why would I ever limit myself? You know,
I'm going to make a joke because I know my husband's family won't be listening to this. They don't speak English. My husband's number 6 of 9.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes you can have a little too much.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But they all love each other very much.
Oh,
yes.
Sweet.
But they're a big family. Yeah, but I get what you're saying. Too much. And I had said in mine, I don't know if I published it because I've done so many versions, is like, how would you want not somebody else who's curious for you to talk about your family and your family story? Like, don't you think it's cool that someone else is interested in you, in learning about you and your family? I think that's amazing.
Yep.
I want someone to be in. My daughter is like front row seat to all of this, and she's curious. She's asking me questions last night.
Aww.
Although, I don't know if we close on this one, you might want to cut this one out, but my daughter said, so what exactly is an affair, Mom?
Oh,
this is at bedtime.
Uh-oh.
And you know, it was a time change last night. And I was like, well, you know how, cause she knows that's the name of my podcast.
Oh yeah.
Can't get away from it. And I said, well, you know how grandma had a special friendship with Jack and I'm here. It's because that's what they call that, that they had a friendship that was special that no one else knew about. And they were married. So other people, it might have hurt their feelings to find out about this, and they call that an affair. And she was like, okay. And then I told her a silly story about whatever, because I have to tell a silly story every night. Yep. And then she was asleep and she hasn't said a word about it today. Huh. So that's,
you know, but again, kind of helping remove some of the stigma, you know, for her.
Oh, I made a promise to her. I made a promise to her, because when I had to tell her, because she was like right here at the family tree, like, I said, it's going to be confusing. You're going to have questions. And I said, and you can ask me about this as you get older, any age, any questions. And I said, I will tell you the truth. I will lie to you about Christmas and birthday parties and special things. I said, but when it comes to this important stuff, even when it's hard, I will tell you the truth. But you have to promise me that you always come and talk to me and ask me the hard questions. Even if you think I'm going to get mad or cry, you have, if I tell you the truth, you have to come to me with the truth and ask that stuff, because it's going to be different with you and me. So that's what I did with her. And I was bawling that. I was all I could do to get out of her bed and get into my bed. But so she did. She was confused.
Yeah.
The night I got the results from Lisa, I was crying the happiest tears I've ever cried. And she was like, and it was just the two of us here alone. My husband's like driving home from work. I'm calling him and he's almost crying. And she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like,
this is good.
Yeah. Cause she found the picture in my wallet, that first picture I got from his church. Cause you know, I wangled someone from the church to send me a photo before.
What I would have done.
We br- I came from an affair. What? How bad is it that I got a but I wasn't lying. I said, they said, are you family? And I said, yeah, I believe to be. And I'm putting something together for Sue, which I was.
Yeah. She just might.
And they sent me a photo and I sent it to my sister. I'd been sending her all these photos, every picture of an old man I could find in my mom's old photo. She'd be like, no, or that's Uncle So-and-so. And then when I sent her that one, she said, that's Jack Brown.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, because I didn't want to lead anybody, right? Sure. I wanted to make sure.
Well, thanks so much for your time and your mission. And yeah, this has been really good for me to talk through. Again, very therapeutic.
Oh, I'm glad. And I didn't make you cry, right?
Yeah, well, a little bit, but that's okay.
All right. Well, take care.
You too.
Thanks again for what you're doing as well. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks so much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Bye.
I really appreciate Pam and Kendall getting into the importance of feeling loved and accepted and the impact of family secrets and shame. The damaging impact of family secrets is an ongoing theme for us at Family Twist. Family secrets and shame can prevent individuals from acknowledging and accepting their true origins. And discovering that you were the product of an affair just adds another layer of complexity and trauma to the NPE experience. I was taken aback a little bit while at the summit last month. During the opening remarks after breakfast, about 250 of us were gathered in one space, and one of the hosts asked, by show of hands, how many here are the product of an affair? At least 50 hands went up, and I was a little surprised. But I hope Pam took note, as she's now hosting her own podcast called NPE, Child of an Affair. It's linked in the show notes. Please remember that honesty and open communication are crucial in navigating the complexities of NPE discoveries. And don't forget, family secrets are the ultimate plot twist. The Family Twist podcast is presented by Savoir Faire Marketing Communications, produced by How the Cow Ate the Cabbage LLC, and features original music by Cosmic Afterthoughts.